Hey, I'm here with Ray Banning this morning, and he and I have not spent enough time together over the years. I've always had the utmost respect for his family and Ray personally, and so I'm really looking forward to throwing some questions at him and getting some responses about his life and what it's been all about. Ray has been here and around Armstrong most of his life, and so we have a lot in common, and here we go. I was curious, I don't know a lot about the Banning family. When did you all come to Howard County, do you know?
That would have been around 1800.
Early.
Yeah, some of the earlier immigrants, there's a cemetery on land owned by Glenn and Barb Gregory that has some of our first immigrants that came in, dating about that time.
From Kentucky, probably.
That's true. That's true. The family settled in the Yates area, some of it in Howard County, some of it in Randolph County. Most of my father and his siblings graduated from high school at Yates. And a few of them went on to school at I think it was called Northeast Missouri State Teacher College, perhaps, now Truman. That's sort of the beginning of the Banning, when the Bannings came.
Were they tended to be big families like all the rest of them back then?
Yes, I think there were eight or nine, and my father was the youngest of that group. He and his twin sister. He was born in 1915, and as I view it, perhaps a part of that generation that Tom Brokaw wrote about in his book, The Greatest Generation. Those people, along with your father, Sam, grew up, got married, had to confront the Depression, and then shortly afterward, World War II, coming out of the war, they survived.
Must have been a lot of girls and daughters in the families, because I don't see a lot of Bannings around.
There were three boys.
Oh, my.
Three boys.
Huh.
And the rest girls, yes.
Huh. Yeah. So that explains that then. I guess I was pretty intuitive.
Well, right. Yeah. My father and mother had the two of us, my brother and I, and we've each had one son, so and they don't, well, one lives in Columbia, but
right yeah,
that explains some of it, Sam.
Your dad always farmed?
When he was first married, he actually was in the CCC camp north of Salisbury during the Depression. My mother was in charge of the railroad depot at Burton.
Oh, my.
And after he finished the CCC program, he came back and they lived in the attic of the railroad depot in Burton. As I recall, he worked for his brother-in-law for, I believe, a dollar a day.
That's probably in about 1931 or two.
In that area, yes, in the mid-30s. And soon after that, the railroad depot, or railroad overpass, rather, at New Franklin was under construction. He went down and applied, and that began his carpenter trade.
Now, his name was Allison?
Allison Ray.
And your mom's name?
Alice Perline.
Okay.
So Allison married Alice.
Okay. Yeah.
she was a Jackson.
All right.
Right. Member of the Jackson mm-hmm. family in the Burton community.
Right. Would Milton have been her brother?
No. No, they were not related.
Okay.
Great guy, though, and mm-hmm. we really enjoyed his company.
Yeah. Huh.
He and my mother were close friends after she was with him.
Would he have bought the farm that you were raised on after he quit railroad work and stuff?
Well, he was a carpenter.
Okay.
As opposed to railroad. And following the completion of the overpass at New Franklin, he traveled the country from Ohio to Colorado in carpentry trade.
Huh.
World War II broke, and he decided to enlist into the Navy. Had surgery in San Francisco. What most people probably forgotten is that Yosemite National Park in California in World War II was converted into a Navy rehabilitation facility.
Oh my.
There's a magnificent hotel still there that was used mm-hmm. for that task. And across the valley floor at that time were small one-room camping cabins. As those sailors recovered enough, they could move out to the cabin. And if they were married or had someone that could come stay with them. So my mother and I, when I was, between 3 and 4 years old, went to Yosemite.
Wow. Wow.
Spent about 6 months there.
Mm-hmm. You probably have some foggy memories.
We do, but those are foggy memories at right. that stage in our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some incidents with bears and such. Right. But a three or four-year-old boy amongst a bunch of sailors, I'm sure got a lot of attention. You know, so.
Amazing.
Huh. So, at the time he was working the carpentry trade, he saved up some money and bought a farm.
Okay.
And then after
$30 an acre,
probably a neighbor bought some east of Harrisburg about that time for $2 an acre.
Oh man,
at Claude White, and kept it for a few years and sold it for $5.
Huh. Yeah,
he more than doubled his money. So
right.
Okay. So that began the farming.
How many acres was that? 2?
That was 80.
80 acres.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the farm I was raised on.
Okay.
He purchased some other ground, as time went on. But
right.
Right.
Now, where was your schooling? Was it at Yates?
No, I graduated from Armstrong.
Okay.
And then went to Central Methodist University. It was actually Central College at the time, and they've had name changes since then. And that's where I met my wife.
The size of your senior class at?
13 in my high school 13. Graduating class.
Okay. So Armstrong maybe at some time had some size to the school, but it dwindled pretty fast at one point.
Well, right. Right. I mean, that's happening all across rural America.
Yeah.
I don't know, the maximum population in rural America was perhaps around 1890.
Right.
With every 60 to 80 acres a family.
I did a census study when I was in college of Howard County.
Okay.
And this is coming out of the cobweb, so it may not be right. But I don't think Armstrong was over 700 people ever.
Probably not.
And so that's not much size. Plus, they're big families, probably.
Uh-huh.
So it never had a lot of buildings in it. Nice Main Street. And then Howard County, as I recall, maxed out at about 21,000. And I can't remember the year, but it was probably about 1920 or 30.
Okay.
And then we were at 10,000 forever.
Right.
And now we're, for the first time in a long time, we're growing.
Really?
and our schools are growing.
And you attribute that to?
People want to get out of Columbia,
uh-huh.
and they want to build on 5 acres, and there's a huge amount of growth on the eastern part of the county because they can zip right on to 63 and down to their jobs in Columbia.
I understand.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably the biggest impediment for us is Highway 240.
Right.
Which, when you drive down it anymore, looks like it could disintegrate under your car at any moment.
You know, the agricultural community, though, I think has continued probably to decline.
The what?
The agriculture.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But
you see houses sprouting up on the farmland everywhere except Glasgow.
Well, with people commuting.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
I remember running into, just when I was campaigning, a lot of people in new houses around Glasgow out in the country saying, yeah, we work at Marshall, but we wanted our kids to go to school in Glasgow.
Okay.
And so we built.
They were willing to commute to,
yep.
to Marshall or
yeah.
Columbia. Or
and these weren't young people, but they were, you know, 30s.
Right.
And
right.
with kids. So, yeah, the demographics have really changed in Howard County. Recently, I asked our assessor, I said, there's a lot of houses, new ones. He said, yeah, we've had 50 built in the last year, and that was a couple of years ago. And now, I don't know if you're aware of it, there's a apartment complex on the south side of Fayette that's going to have 36 units.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, it's just up from the senior center,
okay.
down that road you cut across to go
right,
to the co-op.
Right, right, okay.
And it's all being built by Amish.
That's okay.
Joe Vaughn's the
uh-huh.
the head honcho.
Good.
Electrician
Good.
And plumber.
And most of those will probably be commuting to Columbia.
Probably.
A high percentage.
I'm sure they won't be cheap apartments, so they're going
well,
to have a pretty decent
yeah,
job.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, too.
Yeah. Nice complex. Very
yeah.
pretty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Howard County is changing.
The country's changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it has been forever.
Yep. Yeah, nothing new.
No. Well, you know, I mean, that's part of the world that we're in. You know,
right.
So.
Did you feel cheated with your education at Armstrong when you went to college, or was it sufficient?
Well, there were some. In the sciences, we were probably deficient.
Mm-hmm.
My major was mathematics, and I felt blessed to have an adequate background for that. But they could not afford the lab work and that sort of thing for either chemistry
right.
or biology or such of that. So there was very that was very limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
your math was algebra 1, 2, and geometry?
Well, all through the calculus and differential
oh, really?
Equations. And oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. But you're talking about through high school.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
High school.
Through geometry and trigonometry and
wow.
such. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there a, well, I'm sure the teacher who taught math probably taught everything else under the sun, too, there, with only 12 in your class.
There were 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm making.
Well, at one time, there were two of the different superintendents taught mathematics.
Okay.
But they had some young people that came in. I'm not sure that were excellent teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just fortunate.
Interesting. Sure. Were these young people actually still college students, maybe?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not sure.
Right.
I don't recall. That's
yeah.
been
right.
too many years. I don't
mm-hmm.
remember just where they came
yeah.
from, Sam.
Now, my son Jake is an engineer,
uh-huh.
and he went to Rolla.
Right.
And he got down there and took his tests, and they put him in everything remedial that
okay.
came along.
Uh-huh.
And they said, do not feel bad about this. because now you're going to learn the math the way we want you to know it.
Right, right.
And so, you know, so ho-hum.
Good. Well, I'm glad that he had that opportunity.
Yeah,
you know, to,
yeah. He said it made all the difference.
Sure.
He's glad he got
right.
in those remedial
right.
classes.
Right.
And did stellar there.
Uh-huh.
Worked his butt off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for sure. I had in my head, you had majored in engineering at some point.
I worked as a civil engineer in
okay.
the St. Louis area.
There we go.
For about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1973, my father passed from, died from prostate cancer when he was 58. And
wow.
my brother was in graduate school. And we tried to keep the farm going for about a year and decided that we needed to go full time. So I resigned my job, and he dropped out of graduate school, and we started farming together.
Now, what was your farming background? Did you work side by side with your dad?
Oh, somewhat, you know, but it was certainly a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And cattle and hogs and crops?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. In 1970, my father, being a carpenter, felt, you know, he built a number of buildings, including the house that he lived in.
Okay.
And in 1970, he put up two swine confinement buildings.
Hmm.
Some of the earlier ones around.
They're on the 80 acres?
No, it's on another tract of ground that he
okay.
purchased. And so when my brother and I came back, we expanded that operation,
mm-hmm.
built some other buildings, and bought some more land, and, you know, we tried to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Now, the buildings that he built, were they the main buildings you were operated out of, or did you pull those in
no,
and start all
no,
over?
They included our operation.
Okay.
Right.
I did not realize that.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, at the time, they were cutting edge.
Well, we had a lot of help, a lot of people offering advice, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you might make contact with them and lean on their expertise.
Did your dad also do a lot of research into what he put together for buildings?
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah.
Wow. Well, he was still a young man.
Yeah. Well, and then my mother lived about another 30 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, on mm-hmm. the farm
yeah.
up there. We were with her almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, at 58, that's young.
Yeah. Wow. I remember your mom well from going to the Methodist Church.
Uh-huh.
And a proper and beautiful woman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We felt blessed.
Yeah.
You and I both are quite fortunate to have the parents that we had.
That church was full of beautiful, proper, older women. Mrs. Green. And,
right.
Oh, my goodness, the
right.
memories I have of
right.
of those brilliantly radiant women.
Fond memories.
For sure, yeah. So you and Ray, Roy went into the hog business that had already been kind of established by your dad.
Right.
How much expansion did you do? How many sows to how many sows?
I don't know. We probably increased the production about threefold.
Okay.
And continued with it until, I don't know, the early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
you know, for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Basically about
yeah.
30 years we kept it going. About that time, my brother's wife discovered she had MS, mm-hmm. and we continued after that discovery for about another year, maybe two, and Roy decided that, not knowing how much quality time they were going to have together, to retire from farming. And so I bought out his half of that I wanted, and tried to keep it going for a while. But, you know, certainly, you know, I had to start to downsize somewhat.
Were the margins still decent when you exited on hogs, or was that a really awful time?
I lived through an awful time. An awful time.
Right.
And we kept going for a while. But, hey, that's part of agriculture, whether it's hogs or milk or grain, you know.
Yeah.
One year is going to be good, and the next not so good. So.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm at here. The hog prices, when they hit bottom lows, you still had numbers that were able to make things work.
Well, when you're losing so much per animal,
okay,
the more animals you have, the more you lose.
Good to point that out.
Well, you know.
Right. Now, you did not have horrible overhead because the buildings were there for quite a while, so that helped. But again, the cost of production, just the set costs, if there wasn't a certain price for the hogs, it just didn't add up.
Right. You can trim so much.
Right.
And continue to try to be more efficient, more efficient, but there is a limit.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Where was your hog market, or did that vary a lot?
It varied somewhat. Initially, we sold a lot to an Oscar Mayer collection point at Calio. They at that time were receiving thousands.
Sure. That was just 30 miles up the road, probably.
Right. And most of them there were either going to Beardstown, Illinois, or Ottumwa, Iowa.
Okay.
But it was a very thriving collection point.
There was, I'm listening too hard and not thinking ahead on the next question. Was it a tough decision for you to come back to the farm? Or was it, had you felt yourself leaning this way for quite a while?
I really hadn't thought about coming back to the farm until my father was ill.
Okay.
And we were just trying to keep things going as best we could. And as I said earlier, after, a year and a half of that, we decided we were going to have to either make some changes, either sell or move back and farm ourselves.
What had your involvement been in St. Louis as a civil engineer?
With the highway department.
Okay.
Right.
And so
primarily bridge construction.
Wow. Was that enjoyable to you?
Yeah. Right. I guess my first position was as a survey party chief in downtown St. Louis. And for a country boy, that was a different experience. You know, my first experience of land that sold by the square foot.
Wow.
As opposed to the
by
the acre, you know, here. So.
Did you start your family there in St. Louis?
We did.
Okay.
Our three kids were all born there. The oldest, I think, began first grade when I moved back.
Oh, my. Yeah. Like I say, I was gone during that time and did not get to know your family at all. And so you got some fun memories of all that.
We knew your parents.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. How do you see the hog industry today? What are some of your feelings about the direction it's gone from where it was?
Well, I think vertical integration has played a huge part in the poultry industry, the swine industry, and many of the vegetables and such that we have.
Explain a little bit for our listeners what you mean by vertical integration.
Well, if you want to raise chickens, you can buy probably most of the baby chicks fresh out of the egg that you want. But to sell them and have enough to make a living by today's standards, you'll have to have a contract with someone to process them. And the same thing applies to pork. Many in the production side of pork are controlled by those processors, whether it be Smithfield or Tyson, or that as an example. And you know, if they are controlling the retail end of the thing, and they want to assure that they have a product, you know, for that business, they've decided to get into the production side. And so your ability to have a competitive contract can be somewhat limited. So that's you know, there was a time when Howard County, as I recall, had more herds of Angus cattle than any other county in the country. And most of those same producers had some hogs. Do you know of anybody that's raising hogs today?
Not on any scale at all. No.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And chickens are the same way.
Right.
And dairy.
Right.
Where is most of the milk produced?
Yeah. On 1,000 cow.
Exactly.
Multiple thousands.
Same thing.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but that's the world that we're in.
Right. Yeah.
Went to North Carolina on a tour years ago, and that was my first experience. Sampson County, North Carolina, at that time had was raising more pork than any other county in the country, and they were all under contract. And I thought at that time, surely that will not happen here. Well, obviously it has.
Yeah. What year would that have been that you went to North Carolina? 90.
I'm guessing sometime in the mid-80s, 1980s.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. But that, whether it be the feed or any, or the production side, or any of the growing, everything was under contract.
Yeah. Yeah, that pretty well explains vertical integration.
that's vertical integration, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. We were the last dairy herd in multiple counties,
right?
And saw the writing on the wall, and it was either do something different or get out. And
well,
so it was a good ride.
You can sell so much locally,
yeah.
But how many can you make a living at? Right. You know, can
yeah.
you?
Or can you do it past 65?
True, but you know, if you if you're 30 years old and have married and, let's say, have two children, how much does it require for your family living expense if everything comes off of the farm?
Oof.
You know.
Yeah.
So can you get by with 50, 60,000 a year, 60, yeah. 70,000 a year? You know, pick a number.
Right. That takes a lot of farming to do that.
It takes a lot of farming to do that because probably no more than 10% of your gross income should go toward the family living expense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rest of it needs to be invested back into the operation.
Right.
And that number continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
An economist told me that you needed to double your gross income every 10 years or your standard of living would decline.
Wow.
That's wow. And that's been happening since World War II.
Hmm.
The numbers are just much larger.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. What do you think is unique about Howard County now? Is there anything?
Well, Howard County is, as you're suggesting, the closer you are to Columbia, the opportunities for small acreage there, that would make it unique from some of our adjoining counties that are,
yeah,
a bit further from Marshall and Columbia,
right,
and such as that. I think we are blessed to have that opportunity. We're blessed to have the medical facilities that we have nearby.
Mm-hmm.
While farming, in particular with the pork industry, we were extremely blessed to have the university. We had a microbiology lab in Fayette. We had a veterinarian, or veterinarians, and one of which at the time I was farming was recognized as the National Swine Practitioner of the Year.
Hmm.
So we had,
yeah,
a lot of help, a,
yeah,
lot of assistance.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. I think part of when we had the health ordinance that was limiting entry of humongous hog industries,
right,
into the county, I stayed out of the fray, even though people don't realize it. But when I would talk to people, I'd say, I am for this ordinance for this reason. I don't know if you realize it, but Howard County is a rural residential county. And I don't think people were able to get that into their head.
Right.
That should be considered when we look at this health ordinance.
I mentioned Sampson County, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Being the most densely swine populated county in the country,
yeah,
at that time. I'm not sure that it still is, but
mm-hmm,
probably
big.
One.
Yeah.
One of the unique things there is that you could drive almost anywhere you wanted through that county and never see a building.
Hmm. Hmm. Wow.
They were all behind the trees.
Interesting. Yeah.
That out of sight, out of mind. It,
right.
It kept the wind currents up.
Interesting.
So you,
sure,
you didn't have the odor that, but if it's done properly, the odor,
mm-hmm,
is limited.
Right.
Minimized.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I've gotten to know a couple that built a house on moonshine.
Uh-huh.
And they came down from northern Iowa.
Uh-huh.
I said, what brought you here? And they said, well, it was halfway still reasonable land.
Uh-huh.
And they said, we're in a community where you couldn't get away from the smell of hogs.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
So they didn't have that blessing of a lot of trees.
That's true. Right, and likely northern Iowa, you're right.
Right. What sort of things are you, you're probably 80?
I'm 83.
83, okay.
Thank you.
What sort of things do you find yourself doing and wanting to do yet in the next 10 good years you could have?
Well, hopefully that would be great.
Yeah.
I guess as I was beginning to see some possibility of retirement from farming,
mm-hmm.
I had, I don't know, three or four people contact me and to see if I was interested in working for an insurance company as a crop adjuster.
Hmm.
After, I don't know, a year or so of deliberating with that, I decided to take that up. And so worked part-time. When I got out of the hog business, just in row crops, you had some seasonal work, and so I had some time to apply that to that. Well, I retired from that about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And I'm enjoying full retirement.
Yeah. Now, how big an area were you doing the crop adjusting in?
Basically from near Kansas City to just the western part of Illinois.
Oh, man. Wow. And was there quite a little personal contact with the farmers?
Oh,
in
certainly.
That?
Okay. Certainly.
Hmm.
You know, with a farm being a farming background, you felt like you were part of their community.
Hmm.
And since they were paying the premium, I felt like to a large degree I was working for them.
Yeah. Hmm. Boy, you got to see a lot then.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
I was lucky. You know,
I did not know you were involved in that.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. And a year and a half ago, you retired from that.
After about 20 years, yeah.
When was the busy time of year for that? July on?
Depending upon the weather, of course.
Okay.
Right now, we see the flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are quite involved with that, whether they have to replant something, whether something's been destroyed, whether they may be switching to another crop, or and then the impact it might have on their production in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Will the new farm bill make some adjustments to the insurance programs and that for farmers, or what's going on there? Or do you keep up with that at all?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Probably a little impact, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it was after the floods of 1993, the farm program changed quite a little bit in that, for the most part, it eliminated disaster payments,
mm-hmm.
with flooding. And doing so required farmers to take out crop insurance,
right?
And part of that premium was subsidized, so that's part of the farm bill, and I think it's worked quite well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you feel your day now that you're fully retired? Lawn mowing.
All lawn, you know, you always find things to do.
Yeah.
I'm blessed to have a tenant that is great to work with.
Hmm.
My arrangement with him is 50-50. You know, I share 50% of the expense and get 50% of the income.
Have you sold any of the land that your dad bought down in the bottoms and that, or?
No.
Okay.
He in the past, his own property around it was
right
that he sold, but no, that we,
yeah,
weren't involved with it. I've certainly had more time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy that for sure.
Your three kids are located where?
Two in the St. Louis area.
Okay.
And one in Central Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, halfway close then.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing after the grandkids and great grandkids now, mm-hmm. and their activities.
Right. Are you in any of the civic groups in Howard County? Rotary or anything like
not,
that?
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm involved with the Methodist Church in Fayette.
Okay.
Probably more than I should be, but I enjoy that.
Yeah, in any kind of a semi-official situation at the church.
Well, I'm on the board. I'm okay. On the administrative board.
Right. Know. Well, you make some big decisions for it.
Well,
then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I've served. I've served on the Glasgow Co-op board, the Howard Electric board, the Farm mm-hmm. Credit board. You know, it's in time that it's time for other views.
Sure.
School boards.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Gives you a good pulse of what's going on.
Well,
or has.
Right.
Yeah. Do you read a lot?
How do you mean? Yes, I enjoy reading.
Okay.
Publications, a few books.
Yeah.
Sure.
I remember stopping at a Mel customer's house one day, and a very literate lady, and she said to me, do you read? And I said to her, is that kind of like ciphering?
Yeah, right.
So that's a question I ask you that should have had that same response.
No, right. Right.
Well, we're losing a lot of our neighbors, aren't we?
Well, again, yeah. That's... that's the part of the change,
yep.
You know,
yep.
as things change. You know, when as you were suggesting, the population maybe, you know, in the late 1800s or early 1900s,
yeah,
maximized out, and it's been declining since.
Mm-hmm. This is really off the wall, but I want to ask it: is there a character in the Bible that you identify with more than others?
Perhaps St. Peter.
Hmm. Why do you say that?
He seemed to have had some doubts.
Hmm.
There are questions and such that to me, we all identify with.
Hmm.
So there were some more human characteristics that came of that than some of the others.
Huh. Huh.
You know, we think of Doubting Thomas and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
True, but
it's interesting because when I thought about you and coming over here, I thought, well, how do I describe Ray? And first of all, I thought, cornerstone. No, that's not right. But then I thought, well, but he's a rock that is part of the foundation of what Howard County was and is. So I just thought, hey, rock. Well, and then you mentioned Peter, who's...
The rock.
The rock. Perfect rock, no. Cornerstone, no,
well,
but a rock.
Yeah. Maybe a headstone someday.
There you go. Well, I wrote down a bunch of very heavy questions, and I don't think we're going to go into those. We're going to let you get off easy with a lot of maybe small talk, but I don't think it's been that either. Well, Ray, thank you so much for taking
this
time.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
You bet.